Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Before we begin, if you like what you hear on Mile High Report Radio Podcast, don't forget to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, and go ahead and click subscribe wherever you get your podcast.
You're listening to Mile High Report Radio with your hosts, Adam Malnati and Ian St. Clair. Get involved with the Denver Broncos conversation at milehighreport.com. And now, it's time to get to work.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to present to you the Nostradamus of Mile High Report, MHR Radio's own Ian St. Clair, who nailed his score prediction, 27-13. I am in awe. It's been a long time since we've done score predictions because, you know, it's the first game of the season. But, Ian, nicely done.
Well, thank you. As I joked on a podcast to preview the game, a broken clock is right twice every day. So this is my broken clock moment. I probably won't come close the rest of the season.
You're just going to pick 27-13 for every game? Is that how you're going to do it? Just 27-13. Just every game is 27-13.
What's so funny about score predictions, though, is that usually they all fall in the same category, right? I mean, it's like usually the opponent has between 13 to 17 points, and then the winner is between 27 and 34.
That sounds about right. I very rarely predict something that's ridiculously high as far as points go for the winner or the loser, obviously. And then you never go super low. Like, no one's ever going to go, yeah, I think 13-7. That sounds like the score, 13-7. You never predict that. So, yeah, your loser's going to score, you know, maybe three times, get you to 13 maybe 14 or 17. And your winner's going to score five or six times, and that'll get you up into the 20s. Maybe even to the 30s.
The only people who were upset about this game, outside, even in Broncos country, is if you bet the over. Because that last second touchdown by the Giants put the over-under score at 40. So 27-13 was 40. The over-under for the game at most of the books was either 41 or 41.5. So if they kicked that extra point, instead of walking off the field, the over hits.
I imagine there's several people who would have been very disappointed, and then also several people who would have loved it. It all depends on which side you bet. That is what makes the gambling side of things, which we talk about it because it's what you do for a living. Like that's your sort of, that's your forte. It's kind of the thing that you focus on, which is great. And that's why we talk about it. But we also talk about it because so many people do it. And it is funny that just like one little thing here and there shifts the joy of the game from one group of people to another. And it's all in an instant. I don't know if you could hear me snap there. I tried to be too a little quiet with it, but it takes no time at all to get there. And it's fascinating. I think that's why I do, like, when I bet, it's super small and it's those parlays that I do that never hit anyway. Because if it does hit, it's going to be the most crazy, amazing, immaculate moment ever. And if it doesn't hit, it was like, that was a dollar. I didn't care.
And outside of the betting aspect of it, the fact that the Broncos won, I think is huge. It doesn't make them a Super Bowl team, but it certainly beats the alternative of losing the last two Septembers.
Yeah, we have not remembered dancing in September in a long time. And so this would be a September win to remember for Vic Fangio. I wanted to get some of that out there. I needed to do some wordplay on that.
I think it's a momentum builder. I think it shows you that this team can win. And I think this is how they're going to win. And I think the thing that does it is Teddy Bridgewater. He did not get rattled. He did not lose his element. He just seemed steady Teddy. Like, for all the people who said that we know what Teddy Bridgewater is, well, this is why Vic Fangio and George Payton went with Teddy Bridgewater, because he remained calm, cool, and collected throughout the course of the game. One of the biggest moments in that game was when they went for it on fourth down.
Yeah.
And they went for it multiple times on fourth down.
It was a confidence in Bridgewater that I think they clearly didn't have with Drew Lock when they made the decision to have Teddy Bridgewater be the starter. There was a certain confidence there. And you definitely hit on some very important points there that kind of lead me to the thing I wrote down. Like, I always kind of write like a note or two, just more of like a theme that I get from the game. And that's kind of the writer in me that, you know, when you're reading a story or anything, there's always got to be a theme. There's got to be something that pops out to you. And the thing that kept standing out to me, the thing that kept making me sort of go, oh, okay, was the word resiliency. This game could have turned in the Giants' favor on multiple occasions. I you know, think about the KJ Hamler drop. That was a perfect throw on a perfect play that should have been a touchdown, and Hamler dropped it. And I think in years past, with other quarterbacks, with other teams, with other coaches, the Denver Broncos falter from that point. They go, and they're done. And that's the end of the game. And then from that point forward, the Giants would have rolled them. The fumble that Albert O had that ended up costing them points because he fumbles in the red zone as they're going in to score, that could have been a moment that they faltered and they faded into oblivion in that game. And instead, they turn around and Albert O comes back and scores one of the better touchdowns we saw today in the NFL, the sort of catch and turn and reach for the pylon that was pretty amazing. And so that resiliency to sort of continue to push forward, even though things don't always go the way you want them to, that to me is very different. It was a very different attitude than what we are used to seeing and have seen over the course of the last few seasons in Denver. And that to me is why it was such a fun win, not because they blew out the Giants and not because we all knew they were going to beat the Giants and the Giants aren't that great. And we got to make fun of whatever that guy was on Twitter who apparently has a show in New York or whatever. He's got that blue check mark and everybody. And he said the Broncos were going to lose and he made terrible claims. And then he was stupid and that's fantastic and wonderful. That's all great and whatever. And we got to do that. This team showed that they have the ability to not allow bad things to snowball. And they can build on the momentum that they're creating. And there were other moments. The Jerry Jeudy injury, that's another moment. They go and score right after that. You see Jerry Jeudy go down, get carted off the field. The thought is he's done forever. His season's over. And so we're done forever. And our game is over. And we're not going to be able to bounce back from that. And instead, they go and they score anyway. And the news on Jerry Jeudy was probably the best of best case scenario that you could have heard, just a high ankle sprain, it sounds like. But even still, those little moments to me are the things that they have not had in a long time. And I'm going all the way back to the Super Bowl year and the Peyton Manning years and that era. That we have not seen that in a Denver Broncos game in a long time.
And how nice was it to see Von Miller on the field again?
Oh.
He looked like Von Miller. And here's the thing that listeners and fans can get excited about. They did that without Bradley Chubb. Get Bradley Chubb back now, I'm wearing my Orange Rush shirt. The Orange Rush will be back when Bradley Chubb gets back on the field. And I don't think they need – I think they can be cautious with him. They can let him get completely healthy, because are you going to need him against the Jacksonville Jaguars the way they looked against the Houston Texans?
I mean, they lost to the Texans. I think that answers your question, right?
So I think they can be a little slow with Bradley Chubb. Let him make sure that he is 100% before he gets on the field. But now the way Von Miller looked, that's only going to – motivate him even more to be even better. Then you add Bradley Chubb to the equation. This defense has the potential to be really, really good, and we saw that. Now you throw in Bradley Chubb to the equation, it's just going to get even better. And then I did my Clark and Company segment on Saturday morning, and the rookie that I think could stand out, and we've touched on this, obviously, a lot would have to go right for Javonte Williams to be the Offensive Rookie of the Year, but he looked really, really good in his first regular season game. And then, of course, Melvin Gordon, the game-sealing touchdown. That was awesome.
Yeah, he as I said on Twitter, he stepped in some necks, and then I corrected myself. I hate typos. It drives me nuts. I wish Twitter would get me an edit button. But that was one of those moments where you went, oh, this game is over. By far, I want to go back to Von Miller, and you know, we do game balls around here, which is one of the things. There's an article that'll come out with the game balls in them, and he was my game ball, and he wasn't my game ball because he was the best defensive player on the field. I mean, he was, because he's Von Miller.
He's Von Miller.
So, I mean, what do you want me to tell you? But he was my game ball because of the joy that he brings to the field, and you haven't seen – that's another thing we have not seen. We didn't see it all last year when we watched them. There were moments of joy. There were things that were fun at times, but that the Broncos have been so bad for so long, it's hard to grasp onto those things. Watching him play and the celebrations and just the sheer happiness that comes from having a guy like that on the field who loves what he's doing and knows he's one of the best that's ever done it, That was such a good moment as a fan, just as someone who enjoys watching the game. That felt good. That brought me back to feeling happy about what's going on and enjoying my Sundays and being excited about next Sunday, knowing that there's another opportunity for Von Miller to go and wreck a game and be disruptive and knock Trevor Lawrence on his, you know, fabulous hair all the time. And you know, well, don't hit his hair, because that's his head and that's a penalty and whatnot. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just that, like, there's a joy there with him that you kind of missed last year. And we were so hyped up for it, and then we didn't get it. And then we were so hyped up again this year, and it was just nice to have him on the field.
My game ball went to Tim Patrick. And obviously had an awesome touchdown catch. But I think the thing that stands out about Tim Patrick is now he's going to be even more important to this offense for however long Jerry Jeudy is out. So I, for one, am thankful that George Payton hasn't traded Tim Patrick to the Ravens or any other team that was in need of a receiver, because we showed what Tim Patrick can do. And the Broncos are going to need that for however long Jerry Jeudy is out with that high ankle sprain. And I just, how nice was it for Tim Patrick to be able to get a touchdown and show what he can do in this offense with Teddy Bridgewater and now Cortland Sutton and Noah Fant, Albert Akpogbonam. This offense is going to be able to do some things.
I tell you what, I think they're going to surprise a lot of teams. And that is another reason for a little bit of excitement. You know, and the other thing that I thought was interesting, I'm going to just stick with my theme here because I'm feeling like I should. Kyle Fuller showed some resiliency that he ended up stepping up. And I, you know, if you look throughout the game, there were some moments where you were questioning whether or not he was really capable on the field. They were clearly picking on him. I think Daniel Jones had figured out that maybe he was the guy to go after. And then after that pass interference call, when they were in the red zone, he ends up with two pass breakups to hold them from, to keep them from scoring. And again, you go, wow, they didn't let that get to them. So you've got on the offensive side the joy of what was going on there, and you know, scoring points, which is neat. Wait, what? Points? That's fun.
Scoring then, more than 17.
Crazy, right? And then you had the defense that went out and just did the work and stepped up when they needed to. The Josie Jewell forced fumble that Malik Reed recovered when the Giants were driving and looked like they were going to go in for a score, maybe not a touchdown, but probably at least a field goal. And they knock the ball out and they recover the fumble there. That's a huge moment. It all sort of just felt like every opportunity that the Giants had to turn the game and gain some momentum was met by a play or just a moment where the Broncos were able to step up and just put a stop to it right then and there. And it was great. Tim Patrick's touchdown was one of those moments as well. Like you said, that moment right there was like, oh, wait, we have the momentum. The Broncos are going to win this game. And it never really felt like the Giants were in it after they came back and took the lead, after the Broncos did at least.
And as we said at the top, this is one win. It doesn't make them a playoff team. It doesn't make them a Super Bowl team. But think about the alternative. It definitely beats that, right? Because they haven't won a September game under Vic Fangio. Now they get the confidence. Now they get the belief that they can win games like this. And I think it really does stem from Teddy Bridgewater, because he gives the whole team that confidence, that steady Teddy mantra that has been thrown around. We threw it out at the beginning of the show. That's why this team has the ability to be a playoff team, to finally get over this hump of the last 4 years of losing seasons, 5 years without the playoffs. Now they get that confidence. Now they get that belief. And it's going to be interesting to see what they do with it. Now they head into Jacksonville, and this is another game that they need to win. We touched on the first three games of the season being games that they need to win, at least come away 2-1. They took the first step by beating the Giants. And I don't think we can underestimate how big this win is, because it was the 20th anniversary of 9/11. There was a lot of emotion in that building. There was a lot of, I mean, it's been 20 years. And I can't believe it's been 20 years. We were in the same economics class the day that it happened.
We were.
Tuesday.
I didn't go to class that day.
The fact that it's been 20 years, it's unbelievable to me, because I'm not 20 years old anymore and I'm now 40. But at the same point, it's a big win.
It is. It's a huge win. And now can they build on the momentum?
You've been listening to Mile High Report Radio. Get involved in the discussion at milehighreport.com. And as always, go Broncos.